Hello everyone, this is the Classic Copywriting Series podcast based on Article 1, Choose Your Tone. You can read the full article on cmarianne.com/classic-copywriting-series-resource-hub. But let's get stuck into one of the greatest secrets to writing amazing copy, because success or failure for copywriters comes down to one thing: whether or not people read your copy. I mean, it can be beautiful, it can be current, it can be clever, and it can still never be read. You have about 15 seconds, if you're lucky, to capture your reader's attention. Now, how do you grab those 15 seconds and turn them into 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute? How do you keep them reading down the page, taking the journey that you want them to? If you've ever come across a deer in the woods, you'll know what I mean. She looks up, looks in your direction. You freeze. Slowly, she lowers her head for a mouthful of grass, and your fingers inch towards your camera. Your heart's in your mouth. No! In one bounce, it's a flash of her white tail and poof. That's what your reader's like. Skittish, alert to danger, and ready to vanish the moment they get spooked. At the risk of carrying this analogy too far, you don't want to become a deer whisperer, but a prospect whisperer. Just how do you do that? Tone matters. There are many ways to entice our audience into your copy, and this series is going to cover them all. But today, in this recording, we're going to cover tone. First, I'll give you some stats. Only 20% of you will finish the article should you decide to read it. And most of you who do finish it will only read about 25%, skimming the rest. Now, that's not too encouraging in the world of being paid per successful click-through, is it? One way to boost that figure is to find out how your prospects likes to talk and how to be spoken to. In other words, how to find out their preferred tone of voice. So what is tone of voice and why is it so important? Well, your copy has a message. This message is about a specific product or service. It could be an announcement about a new service, or you might be promoting a sale. You may well be writing about a new way of using a product or service that saves time, money, offers cyber protection, or just makes things easier. How you present that message is key, and the tone you use is one of the major components of that presentation. It should be in a manner that reflects the values and character of the business, the product, and the prospect. Now, I go over this idea in much more detail when I talk about the copywriter's pyramid, which is part of my copywriting methodology. But to focus on tone for today, the best and easiest projects are the ones where these three elements of business, product, and prospect are deeply entwined. The business, the offering, and the potential buyer are a match. And your tone brings all these three things together for mutual benefit. So let's take two classic pieces of copywriting, both appealing to very different audiences, to illustrate the importance of tone. We'll look at how they use tone to target the right prospect. We'll examine how they use tone through specific language, carefully chosen emotions, and a few psychological tricks to keep the reader engaged. Now, this is going to be quite detailed, and we won't be able to cover the full copy here. However, my forthcoming book will include a long and detailed analysis of key sales copy for the intense copywriter. I'll give you more details as they come up. In the meantime, any copywriter worth their salt will have studied Fly Fisherman's Trout Spoken Here and pored over the American Express classic, quite frankly. Let's take them from the top. How to say hello to a fisherman. So you see, Fly Fisherman jumps right in, pronouncing trout spoken here, also bass, salmon, and bonefish. And we're going to unpick this line by line. Well, firstly, if you don't care about trout, if you think bass is a sort of guitar, and salmon is a colour, and bonefish sounds quite frankly disgusting, you won't be reading any further. You've wasted less than 5 seconds of your life. You may not have even got past trout. A millisecond wasted. But that's okay, because Fly Fisherman hasn't lost anything either. This person was never going to subscribe to their magazine. However, what if things went a bit differently? What if somebody reads that with a little grin because they know the secret language of those who speak trout? So they read the next line. Bass, salmon. Ah yes, the correct prospect thinks. I know all about those little beauties as well. Bonefish. Aha, that's more unusual. The non-fishing type is unlikely to have heard of that. These people must know something. I'll read a little more. Now, these aren't conscious thoughts, of course. It all happens on a subconscious level, and this reader is, if you'll excuse the pun, hooked. What has tone contributed? The tone is no nonsense. It's short and practical. Only the key words are used. The patient fisherman doesn't waste words. He knows that chatter scares the fish. The next lines. Crazy for fly fishing? Send for your complimentary issue of Fly Fisherman, the best therapy for victims of the incurable madness described below. Okay, so what do we make of this? Well, the tone is speaking to the devotee. Words like crazy, victim, and incurable madness tune into the idea that these men are drawn to fishing. It's something beyond their control. They're helpless. But notice it's not negative. It sounds fun. It's special. Again, this copy speaks to the fisherman who loves his hobby. It's not a chore. He's drawn to something bigger than himself. It's a powerful emotion to tap into. Ask religion. The offer is there too, up front. These men won't read 3 pages of copy to find out what's in it for them. They don't waste time. They have fish to catch. Can you see who the letter's talking to? Good tone will tell you everything about the prospect because the ability to use the correct tone comes from a deep knowledge about the prospect. As you read, you can see this man coming into focus. By the end of the copy, you can see him clearly and you like him. You want to experience what he does, see what he sees, stand with him when he's hip deep in California's Hat Creek, or watch his clever, artistic fingers working those ostrich or peacock feathers into lifelike insects. And if he's you, even better, because you sound great. The next line, there's no obligation, but we will throw in a free creel if you accept our subscription offer. This has been handwritten in the sales copy. That's what I call an optical tone. It's down to earth, honest, and personal. And the offer is on target. I had to look up what a creel was, and I may be mispronouncing it. It's a large basket you may have seen fishermen use for holding fish. So I didn't know what that was because I don't fish, but the fly fisherman will know. This is simply setting the scene, only now do we get to the letter itself. Fellow angler, it begins. By now, the person who's still reading is definitely a fellow angler. Think about what he knows about the person who's writing to him. They know their fish. They know about that wonderful madness. They know the kit required. They're upfront, personal, and concise. The scene has been set for a beautifully descriptive and gentle letter of long, ponderous sentences and vivid detail that encapsulates the patience, skill, and the art of fly fishing. It takes the reader on a glorious tour of America, invites him into a secret group only offered to the worthy, and subtly extols the timeless virtues of man. Honestly, I love this letter. It's like analysing poetry. That's why a whole chapter of my book is dedicated to it. We've just analysed the first 49 words. Imagine what you could learn from the rest. Let's move on to our second letter. Do you want to live the good life, guaranteed and underwritten by experts? I always think one of the original recipients of the quite frankly letter from American Express must have triggered the same emotions a cat feels when it's being stroked and starts purring. Dear Mr. Brown, quite frankly, the American Express card is not for everyone, and not everyone who applies for card membership is approved. Now let's take this line by line, and we're deep in the subconscious mind of the prospect. Straight off, the tone is formal. I've seen various versions. Mr. Brown, Mr. R. Brown, no, dear fellow card user here. Did you think the formality was stuffy? Are you wondering which bill you haven't written? Then this letter may not be for you. Quite frankly, when you read that, did you put on your posh voice like me? Was it irritating? Maybe you don't want a letter from someone who speaks like a toff. The American Express card is not for everyone. Well, perhaps you feel if something's a bit exclusive, you're unlikely to be able to afford whatever it's selling. And so the letter goes in the bin. But as with fly fishermen, this isn't a problem. Direct mail or email marketing or website ads don't always get it right for everyone. Good copy, written in the appropriate tone, saves everybody time. Okay, so let's move on to the right prospect for American Express. Dear Mr. Brown doesn't turn a hair, but he's used to being addressed formally and quite frankly doesn't jar him. The tone is just white. So quite frankly, the American Express card is not for everyone, and not everyone who applies for card membership is approved. The prospect thinks. Interesting. Tell me more. You're used to exotic holidays, generous credit, beautiful clothes, expensive cars. Another offer seemed natural. However, because we believe you will benefit from card membership, I've enclosed a special invitation for you to apply for the most honoured and prestigious financial instrument available to people who travel, vacation and entertain. Now the tone is still formal, and words like benefit, special invitation, honoured and prestigious enhance this gentle ego massage. And I'll refer you back to my cat analogy above. The copy doesn't say the prospect is special, honoured or prestigious, but the card is. And like attracts like, so the implication is clear. Yet the tone isn't ingratiating. The focus is on the prestige of the card. I don't think they'd be a walkover if you made a silly complaint. This is a prestigious instrument. Talking to a person of distinction, it's an offering between equals. Do you travel, vacation, entertain? Or do you go on holiday and hang out with mates? True, the language of the original letter is a bit dated, but if this letter was rewritten into 21st English, you know that the intended recipient, when on holiday, isn't throwing back £1 shots of tequila in a crowded bar in Clacton. As an aside, did you notice how a special in-group has been formed in both letters? Fly Fisherman created a special space for the humble yet wily fishermen to meet. American Express has invited a group of high flyers into an elite circle. Notice, in the American Express letter, they've even separated their card membership from standard card membership by making a new word. In the letter, card membership is written as one word. It is not separated out. To continue. The American Express card is a perfect example of the old adage, you get what you pay for. Aha, old wisdom. Steady, reliable, yet somehow mysterious and deserving of respect. A formal and respectful tone is maintained by the word adage. You'll notice the old adage isn't a penny saved is a penny earned. It's you get what you pay for. The exclusivity of the American Express card has been cemented by this stage. And we're only in the fourth sentence. So, tell me what you know about this prospect so far. We're 74 words in, and I think you could paint me a picture. So how do you write like this? Well, practice. Hours and hours of practice. mostly. But the insights I've given you into the tone and the use of tone should go into what I call your copywriting fitness regime. Remember, to use tone effectively, you must know your prospect. You need to know what drives them. You need to know what language they use and how they want to be spoken to. All too often, these days, there's a one-fits-all approach. It's colloquial, chatty, and a pretense at modesty. I recently read an article in a respected financial newsletter where the current stock market crashes were likened to the writer's ability to get blind drunk by chugging cocktails and needing to spend the next day on the couch feeling sorry for themselves and checking their phone for embarrassing texts. I kid you not. Now, first, I've seen that kind of personal story idea used to draw comparisons from everything between the ever-expanding global debt to Brexit. And secondly, there really are times when you need to extend your tone beyond the one you use when you're telling a friend about the dried vomit in your hair the morning after the night before. And I know I can be a bit of a pedant, but no, that isn't just me. To be a successful copywriter, you must plan your tone carefully. Find out the language of your prospect, listen to the music of their lives and values, and sing it back to them. Well, that's it for today. But remember to both these classic copywriting letters are covered in great detail in my forthcoming book. I think they're really worth the extra time spent analysing them. There's no release date yet for my book, but I'll keep you updated. Okay, that's it from me this time. I'm Marianne at See Marianne Limited Content and Copywriting Services, and I hope we catch up again soon. Have a good day. Bye.